City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
To the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 526. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And we are into summer.
It's finally summer.
Beautiful.
Although I have to say today is a little bit chilly.
I know, but I like it.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Out. Makes
it's,
me
it
happy.
It looks super sunny. You think it's going to be hot. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I brought a little. I had a dentist appointment this morning. So I brought
That's
a little.
That's how we met. That's around our teeth.
Right, exactly. Around our teeth.
In the dentist. You
nice
look
and
beautiful.
Clean. Thank you. Although I did find out I have both
choppers.
A cavity and a crack in one tooth, so I have to get like a onlay. A couple of grand later, it's all fine. I'll wait till September.
Your teethies have got to be goodies.
Yeah, you got to take care of your teeth, people. You got to take care of floss.
Floss.
I mean, I haven't had a cavity. I literally have not had a cavity in almost 20 years. So,
wow.
And so, you know,
yeah.
I'm due for a cavity.
That's okay.
The problem is the cavity and the crack are in the same spot, so that's why I have to do a little bit of an onlay, because just fixing the cavity won't take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Boring, but take care
we
of your teeth.
We think it's fascinating.
Thank you. Take care of your teeth.
Take care of your teeth. And are you feeling in the pride spirit this?
First of all, I'm always in the pride spirit.
I am too.
Actually, I am because I'm. I always kick off pride at Big Red's show. Big Red's diva show, Mary's Attic.
Yep.
And that's
Megan Murphy.
Megan Murphy.
Yep. And it's on Thursday, so we just went.
Right. Exactly.
Couple nights ago.
So that's how I kick it off. So yes, always festive. It's always a party.
She's going to do a show later on in June too, won't she?
No, she does. She does.
Or I guess
a show,
she really does in the middle of the
yeah,
month.
She does
so
the middle of the month. She'll
month.
Do one in July. Although she's doing a show with her band. Everybody says yes.
Yeah.
At Fitzgerald's.
Yeah.
So check Fitzgerald's schedule. That they're really
Ooh,
great. Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. This month.
I love Fitzgerald's. That's
I know.
Funny.
I do too. Right. It's not that hard to get to either.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Our good friend Megan Murphy.
Yeah.
We just haven't had a chance, and not true to form, we normally have a Tony show.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's always a Tony show. But...
It's always a Tony show, but this year was a particularly amazing Tony show.
It was such a good show. I feel like it maybe was the best Tony Awards in years.
I think so, and that's why I kind of wanted us to talk about it, because I wanted us to talk about the evening and the shift in how the evening's going. And so we are going to, this is going to be our Tony show. And even though sometimes we do it, the second after we watch it, we had to wait a little while because I was traveling, and this has just been a very gay month. And, everything, barreling into the Windy City Gay Idol semifinals.
Right.
And then our next show, we're going to be talking all about the semifinals and
which I will
also,
be a judge at.
Yes, which you are going to be a judge at. And Megan Murphy. And Lillianne Brown and Scott Ferguson. So it's going to be a great, great night. And our 2012 Windy City Gay Idol will be singing, as well as Megan.
Robert Hughes. I know.
Robert
I actually,
Hughes.
Because it's such a small gay world.
Mm-hmm.
Megan and I were at a swanky
because y'all are swanky
at a party I think it was 2 weeks ago now, maybe a week and a half ago. Super swanky, like literally the view was like on the terrace. It's not even a balcony, it's a terrace. Was the lake.
Yes.
And the Edgewater Hotel, that beautiful old pink hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was the most gorgeous night. And Robert was there.
Aww. And so our gay idol.
So Robert and Megan thought, they thought about maybe either collaborating a little bit, so, so working something up. So who knows?
Maybe, I'm excited. Maybe there'll be a little mashup.
They like each other.
Yeah, I like them both too. That's why they're both singing at the Gay Idol semifinals. So, so this is our post Tony show and also our Pride show, and then in our next podcast, Mitchell and I will be talking about the semifinals, which will have just. You know, we will have just experienced all that is the top 12 of Windy City Gay Idol, the best of the best. And we're just going to be encouraging all of you to go ahead and get your tickets now at Main Stage to come and be a part of it. Because this year, you know, Pride's different this year. They're going to have Pride Fest the weekend of the 20th, 21st, 22nd, that whole weekend. Then we've got a lot of events between that and Gay Pride, the Pride Parade. And some of those events are Wednesday night, or Monday night, the Laugh Factory is going to have comedy night. And then, and that is, let me make sure I'm getting my dates right. I think that's Monday the 24th.
24th is Monday.
Yep. And then, I don't know what's happening on the 25th, but something gay. Go to your local watering hole. Then the 26th is the big Windy City Gay Idols, that Wednesday night. We've never had it in the evening. We've never had it at the main stage.
Love the main stage.
And we're going to have that.
It's worth going to the main stage just to go.
It's so gorgeous, right? The food and drinks are great. The concert venue is amazing.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, like, if you're thinking about going, that's an added bonus, is that the place itself
it's awesome.
Is super cool, and there's a restaurant bar attached, and this bar's in the actual theater, and the performance space itself is really kind of magical.
And it's really comfortable. Not that, you know, Sidetrack is not wonderful and magical and all that. No, but it is. Because it is. It's just very, very different. Like, you know, the past few years, we've had our semifinals and finals at Sidetrack. And this year, we're having the semifinals, you know, here on the 15th. Which just passed, which will have just passed by the time you hear this podcast, the day before. But that's kind of like a nice afternoon, daytime, sunlight, glass bar, afternoon, kind of, yep.
Just a little tickle in my
throat. A little of eclipse. that's like a nice spilkus. You want a little iced tea?
Yes, I do. I just need a little sip.
And then main stage feels entirely different. You know, main stage is like a, you know, it's a, truly like a small, I don't know, it's like a small Chicago Shakespeare, like a small speakeasy. It's like a, there's going to be tables, you can order food, you can sit, you can have a drink. If you get a VIP ticket, which is essentially a reserved seat.
Right.
It means you will have a seat, because some people may be standing, which is what people kind of do at Sidetrack. Yeah,
they always do. I mean, it's not,
right?
It's only so many chairs.
Yeah, but there are lots of reserved seating and table side. So you go to Main Stage with a Y, M-A-Y-N-E, stage. .com/gayidol.aspx, and that'll be linked in our show notes, or just go to the main stage website and look through until June 26th and get those tickets. And you know, it's like $20 ticket gets you a reserve seat. It gets you access to the VIP bar, which is this gorgeous lounge bar upstairs as well as downstairs. And we're going to have television screens with showing the stage, so you can sit in either in the lobby or in the theater. If you need to go out and just visit with somebody that you see there, or you just want a break or whatever, or get a drink, go to the bathroom, you can still see the action. And then you're also immediately entered to win all of our prizes that night. And some of our big prizes are an enormous basket of Smirnoff, Kettle, Tanqueray, Don Julio products. We are giving away tickets to Flashdance, the musical, which I just makes me a little wet just already hearing about it. I'm so excited.
That's Gay Pride in a bundle.
That's exactly right. And we're going to be giving away our big grand prize. We have Ravinia tickets as well that we're giving away. I can't remember what show that's for. It might be Sharon. No, we gave away Dap King somewhere else. I can't remember who it is, but I will find that information. And then we also are giving away a trip for two to Toronto 4 days, 3 nights in Toronto. You fly on American Airlines. You hang out at the hotel. I guess if you want to buy an extra night, you can buy an extra night because you're already there. And lots of city attractions to do while you're there included in the trip. So
awesome.
That's what our gay idol's winning that trip. So somebody is going to win that trip at our finals. So it's,
maybe they'll fall in love with the gay idol and they'll go together.
Oh, my God. How fun would that be?
Right.
And then they'll have to bring the in-laws if you have an extra 2 tickets. Well, I don't know.
No, you just extend the week. Longer. You do 1 week with one.
Yeah.
Then you book the next week, and you
very
just stay.
True. You just stay.
Maybe that's the reason you can go.
Maybe
find,
just move to Toronto.
Maybe you find love at the finals of the Windy City Gay Idol.
I think you could. I've heard of that happening.
Well, I judged a couple of weeks ago at maybe it was even a month ago now. It was a month ago because I just got back at Crew and
Sophia Sapphire, one of Sophia our Sapphire. Hostesses,
she,
hang out.
And a couple. Uh-huh. There's a couple that are both in the semifinals that are adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they...
Guys, get, girls?
Two guys. And one of them is a gymnast. And so I think Mark Motor made him show his abs.
I hope he'll do some calisthenics.
Yes, and they both
like
can sing really beautifully.
John physical,
and then
that would be
we'll
good.
Get them to make out in front of everybody.
I love it.
Nice.
Let's see if they advance to the finals for everybody else. As
exactly.
Long as they make
I'll tell you what. If they make out in front of people, they probably will.
Yeah, that's true. You never know what people will do to get your vote.
I know.
Do you think that? And we'll talk about this.
I want you to talk about just a little bit about speaking of singing. Did anybody see on the X Factor that 18-year-old kid that kid whose parents kicked him out when he on his 18th birthday for being gay?
No.
Oh my God.
Okay, tell me this story.
You have to YouTube it.
This story is more important.
You have to YouTube it. First of all, my friend Sam was on the same episode of X Factor. If you watch X Factor, then you know my friend Sam. My friend Sam.
Yes.
You actually met Sam. Sam was in Stiletto Circus and Soul. He did the slack wire.
Yeah.
Sam climbs an 85-foot sway pole and does a handstand on the top of it, and I thought the judges were going to lose their minds because Sam comes across as so unassuming.
Yeah,
and you think they thought he was a wacko, and then they realize that he's this expert,
incredible expert.
Anyway, but
did
on
he,
the same
did
episode,
he make it? Did
yeah,
he
did.
Pass?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I
don't watch the X Factor.
I don't either. Just somebody sent me a link saying, "Hey, Sam's on the X Factor." I was, what?
Yeah.
Sam lives in like a tiny town in Vermont. I mean, Sam's not on TV, but he's amazing. So vote for Sam. But also, this kid, 18.
Yep.
Adorable, sort of looks like a grown up, sort of, I hate to say this, but I mean it in the most loving way, like a little pudgy, like he's sort of got like big cheeks.
Yep.
Kid was kicked out of his house on his 18th birthday for being gay by his parents. He told the story, and then he goes to sing, and he's sort of dressed a little bit casual, and you're like, oh God, this is going to be awkward. Then he friggin' sings like friggin' Pavarotti and Josh Groban had a baby.
Wow.
I mean, he blew. I thought Heidi Klum was going to get up on stage,
adopt him,
swaddle him, and then take him home with her children.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, and Howie Mandel was so loving.
Mm.
And so he said, you know what? You have found a family here. You have found a
family.
It was so beautiful. And then,
Howie.
And then Howard Stern said,
Howie's so much better after he shaved his head, isn't
exactly
he?
Right. And then Howard Stern, who, you know, is famous for being such a...
Absolutely,
such a,
but I like...
I like him too, but he's in a weird way, he's a mensch.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, I hope that your parents are watching this, and I hope that your parents are watching this to see what they're missing, what they're missing out on, how wrong they could be. It was the most affirming...
Oh, wow! I just got chills. I love that.
It was just beautiful. So you can YouTube it. It's the X Factor. I think it was just last week.
Okay.
I mean, I just watched it. It literally made me cry.
Oh my God!
Like the Tony Awards did.
If you find it, let me know. Oh my gosh! You know, it's so good to see so many affirming things, and it makes me excited going into Gay Pride. That you know, those are messages that we have out there as well.
Oh,
it's
so
really,
affirming.
Really good. Okay, so nothing's gayer than the Tony Awards. We're gonna break really quick and give you some news on what's going on in the theater scene here in Chicago, and then Mitchell and I'll be back, and we're gonna recap the Tonys, and maybe you'll agree with us, maybe you won't, maybe you didn't watch them, but we're very funny and entertaining. So come back.
So come back anyway.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. In Arizona, the sponsor of a bill targeting trans people who want to use bathrooms of the gender they identify with says he's giving up on the issue this legislative session. Republican John Kavanaugh said there's concern in his caucus about some of his proposal's definitions, so the measure will have to be shelved until next year. Kavanaugh caused a national uproar in March when he proposed the bathroom privacy language.
The Delaware Senate approved, by a vote of 11-7, a bill that would add gender identity and expression to the state's anti-discrimination and hate crimes laws. Senate Bill 97 would specifically ban anti-trans discrimination in housing, employment, and public accommodations, among other areas. 16 states and D.C. have trans-inclusive anti-discrimination laws.
In New Jersey, Democratic Newark Mayor Cory Booker will run for New Jersey's open U.S. Senate seat. A campaign aide confirmed the Marriage Equality Advocates candidacy. The primary is scheduled for August 13th with the general election October 16th.
The New York alumni of the AIDS activist group ACT UP will reunite on June 22nd. Dozens of people have already stated they will be present, including David Drake, Larry Kramer, and Ann Northrup. The group formed in the late 80s with the goal of bringing about legislation, medical treatment, and policies to counter the AIDS pandemic.
In California, Stephen Mengel and Michael Woody are the lead plaintiffs in a class action suit claiming that San Leonardo police conspired to lure men into stalls and public restrooms to bust them for seeking consensual sex. Mengel claims he was arrested in 2012 after agreeing to perform a sexual act on undercover officers. Woody was arrested after a plainclothes officer approached him in a separate restroom, then followed him aggressively, urging him to stay, the complaint states.
The California Senate Education Committee passed AB 1266, the School Success and Opportunity Act, a bill that provides crucial support for transgender students by a vote of 5-2. The bill will ensure that Catholic public schools will allow transgender students to fully participate in all school activities, programs, and facilities.
Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy is trying again on immigration and gay rights. Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, filed an amendment to the Gang of Eight immigration bill that would allow gay U.S. citizens to petition their foreign spouses to become permanent residents. He had withdrawn the measure after an emotional debate, after several Democrats said they would vote against his amendment in order to preserve the overall bill.
At Washington, D.C.'s Capitol Pride Festival on June 9th, the CIA set up a booth and handed out a recruitment brochure aimed at the LGBT community entitled, "You Have Something Unique to Offer, Sexual Orientation in the CIA, Answers to Common Questions." CIA employees staffing the booth said they were members of ENGL, the agency network of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender employees, which is an officially recognized CIA employee group. Applicants for a CIA job aren't required to disclose their sexual orientation, but information about someone's sexual orientation could surface during a routine background check.
In world news, the French Open men's tennis final between Rafael Nadal and David Ferrer was held up by a flare-carrying protester who was demonstrating against France's same-sex marriage law. The match was in the second set when a shirtless spectator wearing a white mask leaped from the stands and onto the court, brandishing a flare before security officials wrestled him away. Nadal won 6-3, 6-2, 6-3.
A record-breaking 100,000 people from Israel and abroad took part in the annual Tel Aviv Gay Pride Parade June 7th. Thousands gathered in Ganmir Park to hear musical performances and witness speeches from Tel Aviv's mayor, finance minister, and justice minister. U.S. Ambassador Dan Shapiro also appeared wearing a Pride T-shirt for the occasion and telling the crowd that President Obama sends his warm greetings.
The lower house of Russia's parliament has overwhelmingly passed a bill that bans the distribution of information about homosexuality to children. The state Duma voted 436-0 to approve the Kremlin-backed measure, which imposes large fines for holding gay pride rallies or providing information about the LGBT community to minors. The bill still needs to be approved by the appointed upper house and signed into law by President Vladimir Putin, but both are expected to happen.
Italy's senators are to start debating new laws that may give same-sex couples full marriage rights. The gay marriage debate in the upper chamber of parliament will start June 18th to consider making same-sex marriage fully legal in Italy. However, the parliament still seems unlikely to back the bill, as the majority of deputies and senators are Catholic and will block the proposals.
In entertainment news, NBA veteran Jason Collins marched in his first ever gay pride parade in Boston, joined by Representative Joe Kennedy III, his one-time roommate at Stanford University. He also threw the first pitch at Boston Fenway Park as the Red Sox played the Texas Rangers. The 7-foot center was greeted with applause when he announced and read the opening of Collins' Sports Illustrated article, I'm a 34-year-old NBA center. I'm black, and I'm gay.
Jane Lynch has announced that she and her wife, psychologist Laura Embry, are divorcing. The Glee star married Embry in Massachusetts in June of 2010 after the pair met at a fundraiser the previous year. However, the 52-year-old has now revealed that the couple have made the difficult decision to part ways.
Google honored the late author Maurice Sendak with a Google Doodle on its homepage June 10th, which would have been his 85th birthday. Sendak was renowned for his children's books, Where the Wild Things Are, and In the Night Kitchen, and passed away in May of 2012. The doodle on the search engine's homepage featured characters from some of the gay writer's most beloved stories.
Liberace's former lover, Scott Thorson, is opening up about an affair he said he had with Michael Jackson. Thorson said Jackson joined Liberace at his compound in Palm Springs, California, to heal after undergoing plastic surgery at the same time.
Out actor Stephen Fry has admitted he attempted to take his own life last year, but was saved by a producer who found him unconscious. The actor, writer, and television host revealed in 2006 he was living with bipolar disorder, but only opened up about his most recent suicide attempt.
Ellen DeGeneres surprised a lesbian military couple on her talk show when she gave the active duty Air Force member and former Marine $20,000 cash and an all-expenses-paid honeymoon trip to Turtle Island Resort in Fiji. Short on funds, the two have been saving up for their dream wedding. One of the women even picked up an extra job delivering pizzas.
And actress-slash-comedian Tracy Ullman could be joining the cast of Into the Woods in the role of Jack the Giant Killer's mother in the film. Johnny Depp, Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, Christine Baranski, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Chris Pine are already attached to the movie. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Gregory Douglas, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 17th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Get ready for the show of the summer as About Face Theater presents The Pride. Set in London, The Pride is a sharp, witty portrait of an urban gay couple and the punishing consequences of liberation. The Pride runs now through July 13th at Victory Gardens Richard Christensen Theater, and group rates are available. Visit AboutFaceTheater.com to learn more.
Don't miss The Liar, now playing at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or the Metro. Misunderstandings, secret agendas, and witty wordplay abound in this delightfully ingenious and irreverent update of a classic French romp that just might be the theatrical highlight of the spring. And that's no lie. To purchase tickets to The Liar, visit writerstheater.org.
Lifeline Theater concludes its 30th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with The Three Musketeers, based on the legendary classic by Alexandre Dumas. For tickets and more to The Three Musketeers, visit lifelinetheater.com, running now through July 21st.
Discover the intimacy of the Writers Theater's bookstore space with the exhilarating drama Yellow Moon, highly recommended by the Chicago Sun-Times for its larger-than-life storytelling, and 4 stars from Time Out Chicago for its moving and immersive coming-of-age tale. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. Yellow Moon is playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or the Metro. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
Everybody's got a savior. Everybody's got a book. Everybody's got the ritual. Everybody's got their luck. Everybody's got a building.
Everybody's got a church. Everybody's got the symbols, yeah. And everybody got there first. So come on out. Come on.
The Tony Awards.
Three words. Neil
Patrick Harris. How brilliant is he? God. He's everything. He has my career, and he's just more talented than me.
He's more talented than everybody.
He's just so brilliantly talented.
He's grown up from that little boy that we knew to be, first of all, out and gay.
Yep. Yep.
He's so handsome.
Yep.
He's got such a kicking little body. He's got this gorgeous husband and kids.
Yep.
He's got this career in which everybody mm-hmm. loves him.
Yep.
He's going to host the Emmys too.
Yep. Which he'll be
brilliant. He has a hit television show.
Yep.
I mean, he's
and he defies every boundary too, because he plays the most
heterosexual. And people just buy it. They love it. They can't get enough. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens.
He works so hard.
I really think he does. Was that moment at the beginning.
And behind every good man is a good man. David Burka is obviously a good partner.
I mean, he's just marvelous. I mean, it reminds me of one of my favorite lines from Postcards from the Edge, when somebody says to Meryl Streep, "You were so good in a room full of shoes. What did you do on that picture?" And she says, "Thanks. Well, we rehearsed."
We rehearsed.
And Neil Patrick Harris is so clearly rehearsed when he goes into these things.
He's spontaneous, but he knows what he's doing.
Well, that's how you get to be spontaneous.
Right. Because you're confident and you know what's happening
only way to be spontaneous is to be rehearsed, is to know what you're doing and what your parameters are. There's a moment in his opening number, and if you don't even watch the Tonys, just watch the opening number, 2013 Tony Awards. It is so masterful and so funny.
I guess the assuming of it was make it bigger.
Right, make it bigger. But there's a moment where he does this very fast sort of patter mm-hmm. run, and he talks about a kid, like he's singing about somebody who might be sitting somewhere in the middle of the country who's watching the show and it's changing his life. And then he gets very emotional in this very real way without losing the tune or the tempo.
Or the speed.
And says, but because I can assure you that we were all that kid.
Yeah.
Everybody in Radio City Music Hall
that kid.
And it literally made me choke up.
Yeah.
I got choked up a couple of times. I mean, that just because he's so fucking old school talented.
He's such a showman.
He would have been famous at MGM.
He would have been. He would have been the Astaire, Mickey Rooney.
Right. He would have been the Mickey Rooney who grew up to be.
Danny Kaye. He's that guy, you know,
agree.
And he's that guy.
Donald O'Connor.
Yeah, I mean, truly, I just thought that, the evening belonged to three things. I summed it up after watching it. The first being him.
Yep.
I mean, he is just a master. Yep. He should host everything. They should let him host the Oscars because
he should let them ask him.
Well, that's what I mean, but they're so persnickety. I don't know why, but he would be.
Because he's not a movie star.
He's not, but he's been in some movies. He's been in Smurfs. Come on, Smurfs 2.
He was in Harold and Kumar.
But he's just the best at it, and
he's better in Harold and Kumar than most movie stars have been in the last 10 years of their career.
Well, there you are. That's true. I thought Neil Patrick Harris. It was his night. It was not his night to lose, because he probably could have come out there and done 50% as much as he did, and it would have been better than everyone else.
But
he goes so far. He goes so far and makes sure it's excellent, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the standing ovation after that opening number was huge, with like all of, they brought all of the casts on and just like.
And so well deserved, and they just were so smart to just sit in it. And for those of us who are of the persuasion where we like to watch people's crotches, if you freeze at the end while he's accepting the applause, all his junk got moved around and you can see it very clearly.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I needed that
piece of information, but I'm sure half of the people listening do. I just thought, the night really belonged to him. I just thought, he was so good. He keeps the night flowing. When he lands on stage, he makes sure he fills that 4 or 5 minutes, and then he's just so good at commenting. I mean, obviously the final rap that he did, which was a send back to what he had done
and
before.
With Audra McDonald dropping the microphone.
Yeah, Audra McDonald doing like her legit singing with him, doing the New York, the Alicia Keys,
attitude.
And Kanye.
I mean, it was It was brill.
It was
I
wonder
who is right. I don't know who his writers are. I mean, I have friends who do that for a living.
Yeah.
Who sit backstage at award shows and write jokes for
the
host.
But how hard to do that rap? Because he was the first one to do it, right?
He's been doing it since he started hosting the Tonys. That's been his jam.
Yeah. So, I mean, he has the rap where he goes through everything that happened that night. So it can't be something he's really rehearsed. I mean.
No. They rehearse. This is how it works because it's like an improv game. This is how there's the structure, right? They decide they're going to do it to New York, to do it Empire, you know, at State of Mind. So then he knows what the rhythm is, right?
Right.
He knows what the rhyming, you know, where the rhymes have to fit in.
Yep.
He knows where the, you know, somebody else's part is going to come in. And then they plug it in as the night goes on.
Yeah.
And then they probably keep saying it to him. And then there's got to be a teleprompter somewhere.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he has a teleprompter.
Although, you can't see him reading it.
I could only see him on that thing, that one number. But God, of course he was. I mean, how could you memorize that? The opening song he definitely had in his back pocket.
Memorized.
Totally memorized. Totally ready. I also thought the evening belonged to the women.
Ladies.
It was a ladies' night. I mean, to have back-to-back directors win of a musical with Diane Polis, which,
and a play.
You know, and winning, you know, over a lot of huge directors winning for Pippin, and then director of a play with Pam McKinnon for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Yeah.
So having, you know, at the time when so few women directors have ever even won one, to have one year where two women win was just extraordinary. And also to have a night where two African-American women won back-to-back with Best Actress for Cecily Tyson and Best Actress for the actress, what's her name, Patina Miller?
Patina Miller for Pippin.
For Pippin.
I mean,
you know, just, I mean, how amazing is that? So I just really thought it was a ladies' night.
I think whose night it was really, I'll tell you who the night belonged to. Cicely Tyson's dress.
It was his own award.
I mean, that dress threatened to eat the legend.
I think it was holding her up.
It literally threatened to eat the legend that is Cicely Tyson.
I think she's literally just the thread down through the center of that.
So funny, because I was watching with some friends, and I think that her deliberateness made people nervous, like she was a little bit crazy or out of it. I don't think so. I think she's an old...
That's just her.
She's just old school, and she took...
Her time.
Her.
Martha Levy was trying to take her time and got cut off for the same reason. She's so eloquent, you know, Martha Levy with the Steppenwolf Theater winning for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
For the revival.
For the revival. And, you know, I think many people thought that would win and just, you know, but her as well, representing a theater company, you know, being a woman. I just thought the women's speeches of the night were the best. Judith Light's speech.
Yes, I was just going to say Judith on another sort of like queer level. Judith Light has now won two Tony Awards 2 years in a row for Best Supporting Actress. And she's such an actress. Like you see her on TV, she's so actressy in that. And I mean that in the best possible way. She's so clearly a woman of the theater. And one of the things I love about her is that even when she was on, you know, she'd be on a soap opera.
Yeah.
And then she was on
Who's
the Boss. Of course, she was Angela. And she has always been, and not one of the first, because it's been around for a long time, but certainly one of the first of this generation. She has been a 180% supporter of gay people.
Absolutely. Equal rights and AIDS.
And
Matthew Shepard Foundation, like everything.
Not just a supporter, but like puts her money where her mouth is. Like is
absolutely.
Out there. She's at everything. She volunteers for everything. She puts her face in her name. And so her success is not only earned because she's a damn fine actress, but as a gay person watching the Tonys, which is how we're sort of wrapping it up or, you know, packaging this discussion. It's like, as much as any queer, and then I would have to say the same thing for Cyndi Lauper.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, you know, Judith Light, I've met her before too, and she's just like, she's just extremely humble. She's extremely...
She's lovely.
When she says, I am honored to be amongst you, you know, as artists and a part of this community and this audience. And you
think
know,
about
and people,
it, a woman
you
whose
do
career.
Know that. You do sincerely know that. And when you see Cyndi Lauper say the same thing, you know, and winning for Kinky Boots. And, you know, I think many people thought that, you know... Matilda would take away, I mean, the predictions were that Matilda would win
Which is great because I do love Tim Minchin, and he's actually an incredibly queer friend. If you guys don't know Tim Minchin, M-I-N-C-H-I-N, Tim Minchin,
he's
book,
a British... he won, right?
No, he was nominated for the score for
Matilda.
Oh,
okay.
Holy moly, Tim Minchin is absolutely brilliant and so queer friendly.
Yeah.
And if you YouTube his stuff, you'll see he's ironic and he calls out homophobes and he's a straight guy. And he's this brilliant singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
So I would have been happy with either of them women.
Yeah.
But when Jesse Tyler Ferguson said, girl, you're going to have fun tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, could this be any better?
I mean, it was just such a great night for Kinky Boots. And you kind of started which we saw together. Right. And just loved
it.
I mean, it's such a great show. And I know that when my father's good friend here, Bob, who lives out in Lombard, he's an Italian guy, he's my dad's age, you know, older man. And
men of a certain age.
He's got adult children, you know, many of them. They're Italian, Catholic, from Lombard, Illinois, which is like a suburb, western suburb. And he called my dad months ago and said, hey, Leo, Corinne, which is his wife, Corinne and I went to go see this great show, and I want to make sure, has Amy seen this show? It's about a transvestite in England making boots. It's called The Kinky Boots. Make sure she's seen it.
The Kinky Boots.
And my dad was like, Dad, I was there opening night. He goes, well, I assumed you were. I told Bob I was sure if it was gay and about transvestites and, you know, I'm downtown.
And in Chicago.
And I was seeing it. But you know, that just, I thought, spoke such volumes at the time before it had gone to Broadway.
Right, because another,
it had not gone to New York yet.
Wait, because also, listen, it was a huge night for African Americans, because which is amazing.
And Billy
Porter.
It's amazing
we have to even think about it, but Billy Porter and also Courtney Vance.
Yeah, Courtney Vance. I mean, all of the top categories were won by African American actors.
My only thing is this. You're right.
All categories were won
by play, musical. That's right. Brilliant.
Although I have to say to me,
the supporting actor in a musical was the guy who plays Matilda's father. But that was the one guy, the white guy. And the one thing, the one omission for me, and it was a big omission, was Bette Midler.
Yeah.
It was interesting that Tom Hanks got nominated and Bette Midler didn't.
Cumming didn't. And I heard that his Macbeth was brilliant.
I know. And Bette Midler got much better reviews than Tom Hanks did. Bette Midler's reviews are through the roof.
I think it was a really good year for women this year.
I didn't
see all the, I haven't been in New York, but you know, I mean, definitely with Amy Morton, you know, was who I was rooting for. I mean, it's kind of hard to go up against Cicely Tyson. If she was reading the phone book, you know.
I mean, you got to give Cicely Tyson an award.
Yeah, exactly. But
even
poor,
if it takes her 20 minutes to
Amy
to
Morton
thank you
now,
for.
2 years has been nominated. But yeah, I mean, just going back to finish that thought that, you know, Judith Light being such a huge advocate, and then Cyndi Lauper, you know, I think just so deeply emotional. Oh. Her really, you know, her debut in so many ways as a part of that community. But I would say in many ways, she's done so much for the GLBT community and the
she's
theatrical
a part of
world.
Our community
she is a
without
part
actually
of it
being,
without being a part of it,
yeah.
You know?
I was saying that the other day that there's, you know, there's all these words. Somebody asked me the other day, this is just a side note, but you'll think it's funny. A friend of mine who is doing, for Pride Month, is doing a sort of a queer inclusive show at the Up Theater at Second City.
Uh-huh.
And he's this great, he's this amazing guy, and a straight guy, his wife and kids, and he's this lovely, lovely man, and he's trying to be inclusive and make sure that we're all included. He's African American, so he loves diversity at Second City, which is really great. And
yes.
So he's doing this thing, and he put a thing on Facebook where he put LGBTQ, but he said it all out, lesbian, you know, gay, transgender, and he thought that the Q stood for Queens.
Oh, how funny is that? That's
but
so
it was
cute.
A totally innocent, and I sort of responded, and I was like,
it wasn't a typo.
And I was like, Queens, like Queen Noor, Queen Elizabeth, Latifah. I was like, Latifah. I think you want to check. And then his wife was this amazing woman, Deanna, was like, she wrote on it, she was like, honey, I think you mean queer or questioning. And it was so funny. She was like, please forgive my husband. And it was so funny. It was the most innocent. It was like this man, this straight guy trying to be an ally. So my point is that like the LGBTQI, but I think A is so important. And I feel like A gets left, meaning ally.
Yeah.
I feel like it gets left off because the Judith Lights and the Cyndi Laupers. Yeah. I mean, where would we be as a
Well, we need our allies. We have to have our allies to advance. It's
Where
just,
would we
I mean,
be without our allies the, as far as the movement
the
goes?
The civil rights movement needed it, the African American community, right. And we need it. You know, we need our straight allies, and they're so powerful. And like you said, you know, Cyndi really is a part of us. And I thought, much in the way that Neil Patrick Harris, you had that moment, you said you got touched, you know, with Neil Patrick Harris saying, you know, we are those kids sitting there watching the Tonys as kids. You know, that's us. Like anybody in this theater probably was that kid. I loved her saying she thanked her mom And thanked her mom for letting her play and ruin all of her Broadway musical albums, her cast recordings. And and that was me. You know, that was my childhood with my brothers. So, you know, super amazing. And then, you know, of course, it felt fitting and right that True Colors would be the In Memoriam, which was so
beautiful. And
then
that was
so
great, too, because then she knocked, for anybody who was sort of any cynical show tune queen who thinks that she's an interloper or something like that, has to remember that she's written three modern standards.
Well, and not only has she written three modern standards, but let's just, you know, there was an article, you know, forever ago when they both came out as artists in the 80s. And I know this because I did a big, enormous paper on Madonna in college. This is
true.
You
did. I did a paper on Barbra Streisand. It's fun.
That's okay. This was in a psychology of women class, and we were talking about society's roles and perceptions of women. And my paper was about how Madonna was, you know, changing that. And at the time, that was back in, you know, a long time ago.
You should say 1924.
Yeah, exactly. But there was an article, really interesting article, that was a big part of my conversation as to when they both came out with albums, when She's So Unusual came out and Borderline Lucky Star, whatever Madonna's original album out.
It was just called Madonna.
Maybe. You know, predictions were that Cyndi Lauper was the artist, Cyndi Lauper was going to stay, and Madonna was a flash in the pan. And if you look for the next 20 years, you know, you would think that the opposite was true. And so what I was trying to discuss is why.
I said the same thing when I was watching the Tony Awards. I was like, I love Madonna, and she is...
She's, of course, a huge advocate now.
And not only that, but she's still huge, whatever. But it's Cyndi Lauper has quietly been an artist in that she's also won an Emmy. I think two, actually.
Yeah, I mean, she's a great actress.
She's an Oscar now.
Yeah, she's almost got the whole thing. So, you know, anyhow, it's just really interesting to see that she's just, you know, steadily and steadily been in the middle of her art. She has performed on Broadway, you know, and she has written now for Broadway, and I don't think this will be her last show, but that'll be up to her, I think, and how much energy and effort and time it takes. So speaking to Cyndi Lauper thanking her mom, and you also talking about the kid on The X Factor whose parents, Billy Porter's speech. I mean, Billy Porter has been, for people who maybe aren't deep in the theater community and watch the awards either, you know, because you're a GLBT person listening to this and you watch that because, you know, your gay friends are watching it or you have a mild, you know, love of theater or whatever. But for people deep in the theater community, we know Billy Porter has been
around
and, you know, and in off-Broadway shows, really successful off-Broadway shows and off-Broadway cast recordings.
Or replacing a star when they leave a show.
He has just really not had his huge, bright, shining moment in the sun. And obviously, you know, this role, which he, you know, thanked the director, you know, for handing it to him and trusting him with it and letting him soar. And then, but he started off the whole speech about his parents, you know, and about his mom. And, you know, this was my takeaway. I'm curious as to yours, was that his parents still really don't accept him and, or his mom. And that, you know, he was kind of saying that's okay. And, that she still struggles with this. And, this is what was my takeaway. I'm curious if yours was the same, and just that, you know, that the story of Kinky Boots is a story of forgiveness and being who you are, and you can have differences of opinions. And sometimes, you know, it takes time and it shifts. And then obviously that plays, you know, in the course of 2.5 hours, you know, people turn around.
There's the plot about his character and his character's father.
Yeah.
And you realize that the father has not accepted him.
Right. And so I just think that, you know, the interesting thing is that it doesn't have to happen overnight. And it may not have happened even up until this moment. Or it may be still in the process of happening. And Levi Christ and I talked about this as well. You know, when he, you know, openly gay, going to be singing in our Gay Idol finals and one of our guest judges and releasing his big new CD this month. Imagine Paradise, a little plug for you, Levi. But, you know, he's a man who's won the Tony Award and is openly gay and is from small town South and, you know, and has family members and was going back home and shared on the podcast about his mom saying, you know, I just don't know exactly who all to invite. I just, you know, I don't know if it's going to be too gay. And, you know, and it's just that this element of change and acceptance and understanding is slow coming, and it doesn't mean that it's not continuing to happen. It's not always going to happen in a 2.5 hour play. It's not going to always happen just seeing your kid on the X Factor or seeing your kid win a Tony, you know, but that it is a journey, and it is a journey. And the good news is just to stay in the room. If you don't stay in the room.
As LGBT people, IAQPRX, stay in the room. Here's my latest evolution on that.
I found it all very moving, though, Billy Porter's
speech.
So
moving and so beautiful. And what I also took from Billy Porter, which I think is sharing what I'm going to say about that, while it may be taking someone's parents or someone's aunt and uncle a slow journey, I'm also saying, and I think this is what Billy Porter is saying and doing, which is, that's great that you're taking a slow journey. I'll be really far ahead of you when you catch up.
Yep.
And if you never catch up, I'm going to be really far ahead of you.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think for my evolution and the evolution of us as a movement is that I'm losing patience. Mm-hmm. Not empathy, but patience with having to accept people's slow journeys. I accept it. I believe it. I understand it. I know that it's true. I no longer have any tolerance for it in that I say to people, okay, you have some problems with that. That's really sad for you because now you can't have me in your life because I'm moving forward, baby. Moving forward. And so unfortunately, and this is a whole other discussion that we can have at another time, and this has to do with what went on in Illinois recently.
Yeah, we'll do that in the next show.
Which is the thing that Levi's parents and, if I can speak from having listened to the podcast, and Billy's parents, having seen him speak before as well, is the church.
Yeah, and I think
there's a factor here.
I think it is, and I also think it's just the South. I think it's small towns. I think it's not opportunity. I think it's ignorance. You don't meet, and so you don't know.
And all I'm saying
so
is, as opposed to us waiting, I think so many people.
Oh, I don't think he's waiting.
No, I'm not saying he's waiting. I'm talking to us as a community.
I mean, obviously, Billy Porter's in patent leather red boots and moved to New York.
I'm not talking about those two people. I'm talking about this idea.
Yeah.
And us as a community, and this is where Levi and Billy and Cindy and Judith and Neil Patrick Harris, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and all of these people, Harvey Fierstein, and all of these
genius
people, is that while you're having your slow journey trying to figure out how quote unquote Christ feels about gay people or for the Jews or whatever, whatever your denomination is, while you're having your slow journey accepting your children, your children are going out and soaring, and you may miss it. You may miss it.
And I don't know if Billy Porter's mother missed it. It didn't sound like she was in the room. It didn't sound like it. You know, and that's the part that makes me sad for her. But you know, what I really respected about him was that he said, you know, this is the one woman who gave me life.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, I have to thank her for giving me life. And we may not agree. And, you know, but this is a story of forgiveness. This is a story of acceptance and healing. Mm-hmm. And it was his healing.
That's what I loved
his
about
his acceptance.
It. Right.
His forgiveness and, of her.
Right.
I don't think it was her forgiving him. I think he's forgiving her.
I agree.
And saying, I forgive you for your limitations, but, you know, but I got to tell me after
Oprah
all
sense.
This work, you know.
Forgiveness in the Oprah sense, which is not forgetting, but accepting that the past isn't going to change, that what has happened in the past is not going to miraculously change. I think I made the point more to say what I love about what's happening in our community and the evolution of our community, which I'm hopefully a part of, is that I think a lot of people who don't have the opportunity to be in a big city or allow the slow progress of the people in their lives to keep their progress slow too.
Yeah,
they hide
I
their
agree.
Own light under a bushel because somebody
well,
else
it's
is
not
afraid.
Important. They don't think it's important or they would do it, even if it's their child. So that's just it. We all get choices in a day, what we want to focus on and what we want to put our passion and energy
and
toward.
Even if this, if you listen to this somewhere and you listen to this privately because you're not out,
please don't let
the fears of other people
Absolutely.
Keep you from soaring because...
Look at that.
Look what happens when you just say... Thank you. I appreciate your honesty, and I understand that you're limited in that way, and I'm going to go fly.
Well, we've got to fly. We just have a few more minutes to wrap up the show. I guess, actually, there's four winners of the night. Neil Patrick Harris, we've discussed. Ladies. I think the African-American acting community, as we've said.
Amazing.
And then, you know, finally, just to wrap it up, I just think the city of Chicago.
Oh, my God. Chicago showed up.
You know, and we've already mentioned
Tracy Letts.
Tracy Letts' beautiful speech, where he gave a shout out to Chicago theater and Chicago storefronts.
And he said, "What did he say? We're the ones who say it to their faces.
We're the ones who say it to their faces." And that's really a Chicago thing. I honestly don't even think that was a theater thing. Yeah, you know, I mean, he meant it that he
it's
meant
the Chicago
it,
way.
He meant it that, you know, as theater people, we get to say as it artists, to their faces. Right. I understand that, but I think really he meant because. I think Chicago theater is fearless, and I think Chicago theater is often more in your face. It's what we're known for mm-hmm. than New York theater
then
that's slick.
Been right, we don't slick,
have to be, or it's been churned through all those producers and all those people who had to sign off on something that entered any of those stages.
Right, look at every time something won, there were 50,000
producers. 50,000 people. You know, as I already mentioned, Martha Levy on stage, you know, winning, and... you know, that was just a huge
Black,
night as
gay,
well.
Chicago women, Neil Patrick Harris.
There you go.
Tony Awards 2013.
I do have to say, and we should also mention just, you know, to lift up that Larry Kramer got the Isabel Stevenson Award for humanitarianism. So another great thing that was not shown on the awards, but so deserving. I really love, and I'll just say this, my favorite moment of the show was the song Television Sucks. And
oh,
I,
so good.
I just loved it so much to have...
Laura Benanti killed it.
She was so friggin' funny. I know of the people on that stage, people probably know her least of these.
Even though she had two shows canceled.
She had two shows canceled, but she wasn't like... The Megan Hilty character is in every preview, you know, of Smash. She's just such a big presence and a particular look.
Also have,
and I think Andrew Reynolds is the same way
on the new normal.
And you know, but I just thought she was, you know, she was so great. The Television Sucks, What I Did for Love, What I Did for, you know, What I
because
Did.
Because let's face
what,
it,
and Neil Patrick
we all want
Harris
to be on stage,
going,
we all want a sitcom.
Yeah, What I Did Do for
right,
Love.
Right, that was what he did do.
Yeah. Anyhow, Neil Patrick Harris, you took it home, beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, he's
and
so, he's so
I can't wait till we have our Emmy show. Okay. And we can see what that is.
I love award shows like a child. I love
too.
Them.
So our next show, we're going to talk about Illinois. Where are we? How do we keep our pride alive? Is that squelched somehow by what's happening in the House and the vote for marriage equality? We will also be talking about the Windy City Gay Idol semifinals, how that all went down. And encouraging you to get your reserved seats because we only have a few hundred seats. There's only like 300 people that can fit in that space. So that's smaller than years past. So be sure to go ahead and get your tickets at mainstage.com/gayidol.aspx. $20 ticket, get you a seat, and entered to win the trip for two to Toronto that will be drawn that night. So somebody, your odds are good, one out of 300. And... you're going to see a great show with great guest performances, all of which we'll talk about in our next show. But get your tickets now. Do not wait. Oof. And so much going on.
So much going on.
We're so proud.
I'm proud. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.